Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, looked last week about how Jesus said, I will build my church. It's on my heart to add a little thought to that this morning. I am so glad this morning that I can say what he has said. This is my church. This is my work. It's my responsibility. And he has promised that he would do that needs to be done in the church. That's certainly speaking of the universal church, the body of Christ. All true believers are a part of the body of Christ, a member of the body. But that can be condensed to the local church. He has ordained the local church. You look in the Bible, there's always a place where God has where he can meet with his people, a location. Sometimes a building, sometimes a tent, sometimes just an altar, but a place. These buildings that have steeples, they are not the church. There's a church building. We are the church as far as believers. Look again, we'll just read verse 18. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So my heart to look at that last phrase. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've looked at the ownership. He said, my church. That's my church. I own it. Which means he's the one that gets to, ought to have the right to, say what happens. He does that. Not only the word ownership, but organization. He said, I will build. It implies a process. One, two, three. This building was built in a process. The floor, the walls, the roof. And he says, the process of working to build my church, I will do that. And then he used the word operation. He will use men and women to build. He works through people to build his church. This morning, I want to look at this thought. Here's my word, opposition. Opposition. Everybody ain't happy that we're at church this morning. I'm not talking about the drunk neighbor that saw you drive out and said, oh no, what's wrong with them? There they go again. Now that's opposition. But I am talking about the enemies of Christ that hate the church, hate God, hate everything it represents. We really have three enemies. I'll deal with just one. We have society, the world. The world says, why in the world do you think you have the right to tell us what to do? Why do you think that thus and thus is wrong? Well, because God said it. We have society pulling us. Hey, do like us. Live like us. Think like us. We have society. We have self. In you this morning, there's the old nature that still does not like God or the church or doing right. It would a lot rather be at the beach this morning than here. Your old man, self, is an enemy. But then, of course, Satan. I don't want to deal with society or self. I want to deal this morning with Satan. He is the arch enemy of the church and God's people in the church. The Lord said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. The idea then, of course, was the fact that the gates of the city, there were the place where people would meet. They would transact businesses. People would put their business there and sell their affairs. They would transact business like government. So what went on at the gate was the leadership and the ruling and the running of the city. And the Lord likens that to the devil and how he has authority and he has a plan. It is his business to destroy the church. It is his business to do all he can to hinder the church. And he's doing a good job of it this morning. I want to say your enemy is not idle. He is at work. I want to deal with just four weapons the devil tries to use to stop, to hinder, to close down the church. Many I could mention, I will not. I want to mention first, I'm talking about opposition. How our enemy is opposed to the church and what God wants to do in this church and in our hearts as we leave this church as believers. The first weapon I want to mention that he uses to try and hinder or harm the church is formalism. Formalism. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. One aspect of the devil's attack is this thing of formalism. Now, when we think about formalism, we usually think about formal, dressed up, real trade and prim. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a form of godliness. The word therefore means appearance. In other words, it looks good, but it isn't good. He said it's a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. He said it's like a peanut without the nut inside. The shell looks good, but there's something missing on the inside. And one thing the devil will try to do in this church and every church is put people who look good and talk good and look the part, but they're not really real believers. What a horrible fault that is for someone to come to church and think I'm okay when they're not. Jesus addressed the Pharisees and he said this, clean the inside first. And as you're cleaning the inside, the outside will take care of itself. They were real big in their public prayers and their good deeds and their alms, and they look the part right outwardly. But inside, Jesus said, you're like a dead grave with rotting corpse inside. Outside you look good, you look the part, but inside you're dead. And one thing the devil will try to do is put people in the church and they think because they come, perhaps even join, perhaps even get baptized, come faithfully maybe sometimes, they think I'm okay, but the Lord said, are you real? Are you really saved? Are you playing the part? You may act right and talk right, but are you right? Lost people in the church will harm and hinder the church because you have lost people in the church trying to add their part, trying to help make decisions, and they have no spirituality about them at all. One problem, one weapon the devil uses is formalism. I want to stop right here and ask you, do you know you're saved? No. Have you been birthed into the family of God? Can you look back and remember that time when God touched your heart and showed you were a sinner and birthed you into His family, convicted you of your sin, and showed you how bad you were, and you believed on Christ and His finished work on Calvary, and you called out to Him in prayer, and God answered your prayer, and you have not been the same since? Has that happened to you? I hope it has. But if it has not, let that happen today. Call on Him before you leave this building. I'm talking this morning about Jesus said, I will build my church, but it will not be done without a fight because there's opposition. The first weapon the devil will try to use is formalism. The second weapon the devil will try to use is entertainment. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. He said, there have some turned aside unto vain jangling. Those words, vain, jangling, mean empty babble, means meaningless talk. I want to say this morning, in America, the average American, which most of us are that, we are average Americans. But most of the Americans I know, most of the people in this country are addicted to entertainment. Addicted to entertainment. They are expecting to be entertained a little bit too much. They are, even as little children, being trained to be entertained. And this world now expects a church where they will be entertained. That's why they want to come in with their coffee and their donuts and sit and knit while the church is going on. That's one problem we have. That's one enemy we have in this church and every church. We are prone for entertainment. We want to be made happy. You get entertained at the Opry or the movie house or the ball game. But when we come to church, we come to worship God. Now, worship involves emotion. You read how many times the Bible tells us to raise our hands and praise God. Read how many times, over 100 times, we're told to shout unto God and praise Him. Worship is emotional, but worship comes from a focus on God and what He's done and who He is and worshiping Him. When you sing these songs, listening to the words and say, "Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He saved me, I'm saved, I'm born again." It comes from the heart. It goes through the mind and expresses through the mouth. Worship instead of entertainment. We are entertainment addicts. A.W. Tozer said this, "The church that can't worship must be entertained." John said in 1 John 5:21, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." The idols of our day, in our country at least, are us. We want to be entertained. We want to be made feeling good. We want to go out smiling. We don't want to be bombarded with anything wrong or bad. We want everybody to make us feel good, and we want to do everything that makes us feel good and go home and not be changed. I'm telling you, entertainment is one thing that the devil's using to destroy the churches of today. But God said, the Lord said, "I ain't letting that happen." That's why a preacher gets up this morning and talks about it, hollers about it, fusses about it, because we can't let it happen here. We ought to come to worship. I want to ask you a question. When you came in this morning, what was you thinking about? Was your focus on Him? Was your desire to say, "Oh God, please speak to my heart this morning. Tell me if there's something wrong. Help me to worship. Help me to express gratitude to You for what You've done and who You are." When the songs have been sung and the testimonies have been given, when the preacher has been preaching thus far, have you thought, "Oh God, speak to my heart. Oh Lord, I open my heart to You. I give You my will. Speak to me." That's what worship is. The first weapon He tries to use to destroy and harm and hinder the church is formalism. The second is entertainment. The third is compromise. It'll not be a fun morning at the house of God today. I'll just warn you about that. But I tell you one thing. I'm trying to mind the Lord. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Or you can just listen. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times we're there. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," lying demons and wrong doctrine, "speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." He said, in the last days, I believe we're there. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to say this morning, I want to remind you, the devil's a liar. And he wants to change that book you hold in your lap. He wants you to compromise. Remember what he said to Eve? Thou shalt not surely die. God knows that ain't the truth. And he will do the same thing with us this morning. He will tell us that Bible is too old to be believed. We are in an update society. That was in the olden days. Things have improved. Things have gotten better. Things have gone on. The world is looking to us and telling us to act like them, live like them, talk like them, think like them, and say that's what God wants. They want us to compromise. The devil wants us to compromise the Word. 2 Timothy 4:3 says that for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Two things. People wanting a message where they can just scratch behind your ear. Oh, that feels good. I feel better. Right. If you doubt that, watch TV, listen to the radio. And the devil is spreading this idea of compromise across the world. He's trying to destroy the church. He's trying to destroy this church. He's trying to get us to compromise. We know we'd rather have a good message this morning than what you're hearing. You know that. But every once in a while, we need to be warned. And somebody say, well, you ought to not warn us quite so often. Well, I have to. The devil's trying to destroy this church and every church. He will try to make us compromise to change the Word, having itching ears. It means that people want to be massaged instead of hearing a message. They want to be cheered instead of challenged. They want to hear something that makes them feel good and lets them go back home not thinking so bad about themselves. It's like Jeremiah said, they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Everything's just fine. The devil wants to make us let things go. I got a question. If there's a rattlesnake in your child's bedroom tonight, are you going to just let it go? Or will you risk your life to save your child by getting rid of the rattlesnake? And if there's a rattlesnake called compromise in the church, we ought to recognize the danger of it and how it's an enemy that the devil's sending. Right. I will say this. Our grandparents would roll over in their grave if they saw what the average church is today, and you know that. Is that true or not? Right. They would say, are you kidding me? Years ago, preachers were preaching this, and it was true then. But if it was true years ago, how much more true is it now? That used to be sinful and repulsive and perverted has slowly become accepted. And I could automatically go real quick to the worst of the worst and say there's homosexual pastors and same marriages. I don't even want to say the word too much in the pulpit. There's children around. And the church accepts it. Now, we don't. I could easily go to the worst of the worst and say, look at them. But all that's going to do is make us mad at them. I want us to look at us. How much have we slipped? How much have we changed through the years? The things that we used to think were wrong, now if we aren't careful, we'll say, well, I just don't see anything wrong with that. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Everything's right when it's not all right. The devil has used compromise in the church in our day quite successfully. And it slowly works to where we don't notice the difference. And that which was sin becomes tolerated, allowed. Preachers don't preach. People don't say, that's wrong. It becomes, what was sin becomes tolerated. And over time, that which was tolerated becomes accepted to where people say, there ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me doing that. There's nothing wrong with me saying that, going there, doing that. And that was sin just a few years ago. The devil has learned how to get us to slowly compromise our stand, and it's costing the church. I'm talking about, listen, I know some good old-fashioned independent Baptist churches who used to stand for God and the Bible, and God used them, and God's power was there, and God's presence was there. And when you went, you had no idea what God was going to do. And this morning, they've compromised their contemporary, and they think they're okay. And they think God's blessing that. I don't think that. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Now, if it's just our opinion and just how we feel that matters, doesn't matter, change. But if it's based on God's word that we're supposed to be walking by and living by and believing, we better not change. Because God ain't changed and he ain't going to change. We better realize the danger of compromise, how dangerous it is. Here's what Paul said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The word sound, one thought is healthy, that which will help you. I hope every once in a while, some of us every once in a while are careful about what we eat. I will say this, if I announce this morning we're going to have supper tonight, we're going to have a soup supper tonight. It's kind of getting cooler. We're going to have soup supper, and we have soup tonight. People come in. I got a big pot of homemade vegetable soup, and I say, here's the vegetables. Here's the beans and the carrots and the onions and the potatoes. And by the way, I put just a little bit of rat poison in it. Now, I didn't put much. I got a question. Would you eat my soup? If you do, you ain't too smart. You would avoid it. And the devil puts a little bit of compromise in, a little bit of the world, a little relaxing, a little giving in to this, giving in to that, to where before we know it, we are no longer having sound, healthy doctrine in our lives. We have become sickly and weakly. Here's what the Bible says also, Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word. It means to clasp, to adhere to. It means super glue yourself to the word of God, to sound doctrine, the faithful word. Paul said, for 3 years I ceased not to warn every one of you, night and day with tears. I warned you. Why was he so broken? Why was he so driven? Because he knew the danger of compromise and how we, when we change this word, we hurt God's work and we hurt God's church. Paul said, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves enter in among you. I would never do it. I don't think I would. But I could name preachers this morning. In my opinion, I would never say this is settled, that this is certain, because this is my opinion, and I may be wrong, and I don't want to put my hand on God's man, but I do believe I could point out some preachers this morning through the years who have compromised to where I could say they are grievous wolves. They have become to where all they're interested in is getting a bigger crowd, making everybody happy, get a stirring, get a moving, get an attraction. That's my opinion. And if that is true, which it appears to be so, we're in trouble. The devil wants to fight. I'm talking this morning about opposition. I'm talking about something very serious. And then I want to use the last word, the last weapon, and it ain't going to get much better, so just get your seatbelt real tight. Formalism, entertainment, and compromise, apathy, a lack of interest, a lack of emotion, a lack of motivation, a lack of feelings, a lack of concern, a lack of brokenness, a heart that's grown so hard it can't be moved, doesn't want to be moved, doesn't care that it can't be moved. we don't care, and we don't care that we don't care. That's apathy. Revelation 3:15, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. He said, you're lukewarm, you're not cold, you're not so far away from God that you wake up and say, I got to get right. And you're not hot, you're not on fire for God, doing all that you can, want to serve Him, but you're somewhere in between, you're lukewarm. He said, I wish you was cold, I wish you was hot. Lukewarm is apathetic, satisfied, content. Satisfied, content. It is an enemy, it's a weapon the enemy uses. Nothing moves the apathetic person. Good news doesn't excite. Brother Butch gave us some of the best news we could ever imagine. I wonder if some listened and wasn't even touched by them. I have, since I've been preaching, been giving us some of the worst news that we could hear. I wonder if some have sit and not been touched. Apathy. Untouchable, unmovable, and content to stay that way. Jesus used an illustration when he said, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. He is talking about the marketplace, the gates, like I talked about when I first started this message. When the adults came, they brought their children. The children would stay around with each other and play games. One game they would play is wedding. They would pretend they were having a wedding. And in a wedding, you start to be, you're supposed to be happy and joyful. Another game they would play is funeral. They would pretend there was going to be a funeral. The funeral is supposed to be sad and weeping. And Jesus said, we played wedding. You didn't laugh. You didn't smile. Untouched. We played funeral. You didn't cry. You didn't weep. Unmoved. Untouched. And we're living in that day when God's people are untouchable, unmovable, and satisfied and content, apathetic and satisfied to stay that way. Apathy means you can hear a message like this and be untouched, unmoved, unconcerned. And like Paul said, it's now high time to awake. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? My words, how are you sleeping now? He was praying in Gethsemane about going to the cross. The devil was trying his best. The devil was putting everything he had to fight against Jesus and stop him from going to the cross. There in that garden and a few feet away, the disciples were asleep, untouched, apathetic, didn't care. And he says, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping with all that's going on? Are you asleep with all that's going on? Jesus said, I am building my church. Now I'm going to build it no matter what. But I want to warn my people that it's not going to be all glory and smiles. There's going to be some opposition. And we've got an enemy that's using some weapons that if we aren't careful, they'll be successful. Because again, God works through people to accomplish His will. Let's stand together. How many of you come? I ask you first, do you know you're saved? If you're not sure and the Lord's touching your heart, just inside you think, I'm not saved, I'm not forgiven, or I'm not sure about it. There's an altar here. It's just a place where you can come and pray. That's all it is. And the people around you will be glad if you do. Don't listen to the devil's lies. He'll say, well, what will people think? Well, the ones that matter will be thrilled. I'm asking you to come. I'm asking to us who are saved, members of God's church, the universal body and the local church. You may not be a member here, but you're an active visitor. You're a part of the church. Are you a part that hinders or helps? Please, maybe you'd want to come and pray for yourself and your church. Father, please take